Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams. You're right here in the living room of my home and at the medical center at Houston, Texas, the most awesome city in the world. You can see behind me, the sun's kind of going down. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? And you can just see all the hospitals there. And as the sun goes down, you'll be able to see the night come out and the stars come out. And it's just a joy to be with you today. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Hope you've had a great day. And in that process, I hope you feel appreciated and loved. And thank you for doing the awesome role that you do. And may you just have a beautiful, beautiful day. And it's a shame that we live in a world where you have to set a day aside to remind us to say we love you and to express gratitude and sincerity and hugs and kisses and thank yous to the people that are closest to us in our life. But we do that. And in a few weeks, we'll be doing it for our dads. But just want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. And we have a great guest tonight. We always want to let you know that there's several different ways that you can get involved tonight. One is you can call right into the radio station at 888-627-6008. And TJ at the BBS radio station will patch you right through to our guest and me. And we don't edit anything or censor anything. We'll just let you come on in and ask the question or comment that you have of our guest. If the only thing I ask is that you make it relevant to what the guest is talking about and what he's involved with. And so it's not off the spur of a side angle subject. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. You can get on there right now if you want to and comment. And during the break at the bottom of the hour, I'll get on there and check it out. Or you can give right here on my little cell phone, 832-396-6525. And you can text me. And by the time I get off the show at 9 o'clock, I have all kinds of texts on my phone, but feel free to do that. And at the bottom of the hour, in the next 25 minutes, I'll be checking that and I'll be glad to read it. But I think the best way to do it is just get right online and join the show with us tonight. Our guest has totally agreed to do that this evening. So I would love to have it. Hey, I made a trip to Little Rock this week and spoke to some police officers and did some training up there with North Little Rock Police Department and some people up there that do so much good work in that area. Went right through the storms. So hopefully we have some Little Rock people on tonight. I don't get to Arkansas very often, but it was good. It was just happened to be the right in the middle of 4 or 5 tornadoes and thunderstorms and flash flood warnings. And it was quite an experience, but it was a good week. And then I came back and I believe Friday, I was Thursday or Friday, I was at University of Houston in Sugar Land speaking there too. A great group of people. That room was jam packed and all the impact that they're making over there in Fort Bend County, Texas. It was just absolutely wonderful. I just want to say thank you for y'all treating me so well and loving me and taking care of me and allowing me to come and sling sweat for a few minutes. And, you know, when we go through the weeks that we go through, and our guest tonight and myself as we travel around the country. I think he's probably more of a keynote speaker than what I am. Not very many people want me to keynote. They want me to be in a breakout room over in the corner where there's four or five people that come in and I can talk more personal. But every now and then I get a chance to sling sweat on a keynote. But our guest tonight, he is a keynote king. But anyway, when you get to go through and talk about some things, every now and then, as the sun's going down, there's a dark cloud that comes over our lives. Even though we say, hey, we got it all under control, we got the tiger by the tail. But every now and then, let me be honest with you, it ebbs in. The water starts to rising up here, and we feel like we're getting ready to drown, at least me, emotionally. Every now and then, I need to remind myself and tell myself some things. This week, I needed to remind myself a few things. I just want to let you know what those few things are, then we'll bring our guest in. I try to laugh when I get the opportunity, when I can. I really have a strange sense of humor, but I try to really find time to laugh. I was watching I Love Lucy on the big screen all afternoon because it's all marathon today on TV. So just as soon as I get off, I'm going to put I Love Lucy back on. And I enjoy that kind of humor. I laugh when I can, but also I cry when I need to. And I try to focus on the things that I need to get done and prioritize in my world and my life. And a couple of things I just want to share with you that I need to remind myself about. I try to fight hard for the things that I want most in life. I really fight hard for that. I really want to make an impact on people. I really want to help change people's lives with the time that I have left on this awesome earth. And in that, those things that are worth more to me, I need to start fighting harder for. And those things that really don't matter to a hill of beans, I don't even know why I'm giving it my time. So those things that are important to you, feel free to buckle up and fight a little harder for those things that you need and you want to get out of life. And then you need to start taking action right now. It's not going to just be handed to you. You're going to have to take the first step. Many great things can be done in a day if you don't always make that day tomorrow. I'm guilty of that. Am I the only one in this room that pushes the envelope and say, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. When it's one of those priorities, maybe I need to get to it now. Get to it now. Maybe you need to do that. Whatever's most important to you, fight for that. And whatever it is that you want, make that a priority, and then don't put it off anymore. Focus on it and take action on it now. And don't let your fear of making a mistake step you away from getting started. Our guest tonight is a coach, a personal coach. Somebody that helps you get back on the track and kind of like that trainer in the weight room. Hey, come on, pick it up. Keep pumping, keep jogging. Okay, 10 more squats or whatever it is. He kind of does that in the personal realm. Every now and then we need that in our life, but you can do that to yourself too. Just look in the mirror and say, hey, tomorrow morning, I'm going to do that thing that I've put off for the last 6 months. Do it. And don't be afraid to do it. Because the time is now for you to get started. And make sure you remember to smile. Remember to find joy. Mama's Day, for a lot of people, brings joy because you get to love on your mom and hug her and tell her how much she means to you. But for a lot of people, it's bittersweet because moms are gone. And in that, we need to remember, if you have that opportunity to call your mom and you haven't done it yet, to love on your mom and put your arms around your mom and she's still on this side of heaven, then now's the time to do that. And look at her in her eyes and say, hey, mom, perfection, there's not a mom that's perfect out there in this world. There are none. So embrace who they are and what they've done and they brought you into this world. That's worth right there. A smile or two and a hug or two and for sure a phone call to let them know you love them. And why don't you try to let go of all of yesterday's junk? What good is it to allow yesterday's anxiety affect today's happiness and joy? Don't do it. Don't bring it in. Tomorrow morning is a new day of new possibilities and new hope, and the opportunity to have that makes each day a better day. And one more, there's enough time to do something you love. And whatever that is, what is it that you do that always leaves you happy? What is it that you love? Why are we focusing on things that don't bring that joy, don't bring that love, don't bring that happiness to us? Why are we wasting our time on those? And I always ask, so I'll go ahead and give a little hint, because our guest never knows what questions I'm going to ask. I never pre-qualify those. But I always ask up front, somewhere down the line, what is it that you're passionate about? What gets you to get out of bed and start the day and you want to get accomplished each and every day? That's what I want to know, because that's who you really are. Those are just some things that I needed to tell myself. So if you want to get involved tonight and you need some encouragement this evening, call in 888-627-6008. And it is an honor. TJ, if you want to, go ahead and bring this good-looking man's picture right up beside next to mine, and you'll see a loving before and after. He is the after. Did you train and you get worked out and you eat right? And I am the before. Welcome to the program tonight, DJ Johnson. He is a, and this is what I love about DJ right here. In his bio, most people will go five sentences with everything that they've accomplished. All their titles. But listen to this. This is his handwritten bio. DJ Johnson is a devoted husband and father. Ding, ding, ding. That tells me right there the heart of the man that is sitting in front of you tonight. And he is an author. And he is a parenting and youth empowerment coach. I want to find out all about that. A counselor, a sports statistician, and the owner of DJ Inspires LLC. He grew up next to the state that I grew up in Indiana. I grew up in Illinois, but he grew up in the foster care system. And yet, despite all of that, has gone on to lead a successful and fulfilling life. And before spending 9 years in the foster care system, DJ suffered child abuse, domestic abuse, emotional trauma, and maybe things that he has never, ever shared that's in those closets that some of us have those things that we're never going to let out. But at one point, he wanted to end his life, but he realized that there was something left for him on this earth to do, and it gave him purpose. Welcome to the program tonight, DJ Johnson. How you doing, DJ?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be on. I know we've been going back and forth with our busy schedules, but I was so glad we were able to finally land on a date and make this happen.
Well, welcome to the program. I tell you, we crossed paths the other day. Was that in Abilene?
Abilene, Texas. Correct. Yes.
And you cannot get to Abilene, Texas from Houston. I just want to let you know. You got to go someplace else to get there. I remember driving that. It's like, oh my land. But that was a great conference. You did a great job. And I immediately went up and said, hey, here's my card. I want to get you on the show. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you at right now, DJ? Where do you live? Where do you reside at?
So I live in Los Angeles, about 15 minutes or so outside of downtown LA. And I've been out there since my senior year of high school. So 17 years old, I moved out there. I'm sure we might get into that a little bit
Yes.
during the show, but and that's where I was at with my wife and my son, and doing all of those different things. But currently, at the moment, I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I was born. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And I'm sorry to say that DJ lost his father, lost his mother last year, late last year, and then he lost his dad and is in Indiana to take care of that business, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I want
Been
to say
rough
thank you because a lot
several
of people would have
months.
said, hey, wait, no, I can't do this, but I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule.
Yeah. No, it's been a definitely a rough couple months, and definitely have challenged all of the work that I've done as far as the healing is concerned. And so I'm proud of myself in the terms of like being able to allow those emotions to just flow as opposed to holding them in. So,
Yeah, it
uh,
took us a while to
yeah.
learn how to do that, though, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And your
Very
dad
long
was
time.
only 52.
52, him and my mom. Yeah.
Your mom was 52
Crazy.
also, and she passed last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of stuff that people go through shaves the life off some of our years off our life, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. When they both passed, and my sister had texted me, and she was when we found out what exactly my dad passed from, and it turned out they both passed from the same exact thing. I think it was, I forget the term, but I think they had something with the main artery being burst or something like that. So yeah, just crazy coincidence in both the age and how they passed. Too far too young, but if I kind of look back through the conversations that I've had with my mom, the conversations that I've had with my dad, they definitely have been through a lot. So I don't know what their ACE score was, but I imagine it was pretty up there. So it tracks when you think about all the stats and information that ACE score tells us about trauma and how it impacts you.
Yeah, and the impact that it has on the heart is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, DJ, when how did we? Because we met each other twice, right? Once the
Yeah.
last time was in Abilene. Where was the time before that?
Yeah, so during my keynote, I learned that you were going to be at the Abilene conference this year. And so I was like, I didn't know if you were in the room or in the space, but I had called you out like, I don't know if Dr. Williams is here. And you were like, oh, you raised your hand. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if you remember, but we met in 2020 in Atlanta at the Creating Trauma Sensitive Schools conference. And I believe you were
Yeah.
doing a workshop, and me and my wife happened to come into it. We're like, oh, this sounds good. And just hearing your story, it stuck with me. And so when I saw your name on there, I was like, oh man, I remember him. That's how I remembered to reconnect with you.
Was Atlanta the one that had the COVID? It was
Right
just the
before
beginning of
COVID,
COVID.
right? J literally February, we were at the conference, and the next month, the world shut down.
Yeah. I remember that
Yeah.
because I remember shaking everybody's hand and thinking, I probably
Right.
shouldn't be doing this, but I did it anyway. But no, that
Right.
is so wild how things full circle. And now here
Yeah.
you are on the show.
Yeah. It
I'll tell
was
you what,
awesome.
DJ, out in LA, do you work as a sports statistician now? And who's that with?
Yeah. So as a sports statistician, people ask me all the time, like, so I always explain it like this. So let's say you're the announcer and you're announcing the game. And so my job typically when I'm hired is to help the announcer with different stats and information that he might share during the game. So an example of that might be I'll give him a run. So if it's like a 10-0 run, a 12-2 run, whatever the run might be, if a player is getting hot in a specific quarter. Let's say, since Kobe was my favorite player, rest in peace, Kobe scored 13, 14 points in the second quarter. When it gets like that, those are trends, different things that we try to point out for the announcer so he can say it over the air. Those are things that they typically like. And each announcer is different. They like
Right.
different things. Some announcers might just are super hands-on and need you to help them at every little thing. Those are probably the older announcers. The younger ones are like, hey, I got it. Just give me, the minimum, bare minimum. But it's fun nonetheless. As a person who had got a bachelor's degree in movement and sports science and then my first master's in coaching and athletic administration. I always thought I was going to be an athletic director. That was my initial goal coming out of high school. And so now that I'm not fully entrenched in sports, my full-time work is to just impact lives. But I still get a little taste by working the game. So I do NBA games,
With a
NFL,
certain organization or
yes, whatever the LA team. So typically how it works is I, especially if I do NBA games, I always work typically traditionally for the team that comes and plays the LA teams.
okay.
And so like they usually they travel, they don't travel their guys that they normally would use at home. They
I'm with
usually
you.
hire a local person, which is me, or other people. But yeah,
Well, I've
so
been
that's
meaning
how it
to ask you
works.
that for a long time, and
There
I'm glad you cleared that up for you.
you
Fantastic.
go.
You get to see some players, some big
I
players
do. I do.
every
It's pretty
single day.
awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I my badge, my media badge allows me to go in areas that everybody can't go. So I have access. I could go, behind, in the background, the back. I don't even know what the word is for it, but I go in the back. I could go to the court if I want. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's neat. That's neat. Okay, so let's talk about what is it that you do, and what got you interested in to do what you do in this DJ Inspires? Because I want you to tell the story, and I'm just going to hush up now and let you tell a little bit about what happened in Indiana, and then how that make you the man that you are today, wanting to make an impact on people's lives.
So I currently today I do I'm a credentialed counselor, so my second master's is in school counseling, and I thought I wanted to be a school counselor, and then I learned I my expertise is working with high school students. And so when I was shadowing the counselors at the high schools, I learned, at least out in Southern California, that they focus mainly on academics and schedules and class like grids and all that. And I was like, boring, I don't want to do that. what I learned working with the students is that we need to unpack things for them in their lives, the things that they're dealing with, the challenges that they're dealing with, so that they could become the students that we keep trying to get them to become, so they can graduate and all these different things. And so for me, I call it it's the social emotional work. I want to do the social emotional work. So that is what inspired me to get the school counseling. So when I got my master's degree, I was kind of already through the program, and I was like, man, I actually probably should have been a therapist, or I should have been a licensed counselor, right? If I had to do it all over again, I would. But I just realized, like, you know what? I want to do my own thing. So that's how DJ Inspires came about. In 2018, I was working at a nonprofit from about 2014 to 2018, and that's how I got exposed to doing work with young people. The initial job that I got was I was a mentor for foster and probation youth. So as a former foster youth, that was something I was like, hey, that's right down my wheelhouse. I'm totally in there. So I started doing that, and then as I started working in that position more. Before I got that job, I would never tell people that I was a former foster youth. I would never tell people things that I had went through in my life. I kind of kept that to myself. As I say, I gatekeeped it, because I didn't feel like people needed to know that. I didn't feel like people needed to know my business. And the more I started working with students, the more I started sharing little by little, the more I started to see kind of the light come in them, like the light of like, you get me, you understand, you've been through some things where when you say I understand, it hits a little different than somebody who just doesn't understand and they keep telling me they understand. And then I would hear from other staff as I work with the schools about like it when I work with students, it was just like different than anybody else. Like I became the person who's like, you, there's a student that comes into the office and can nobody crack him, can nobody get him to say anything or share anything or whatever it might be, and they get a day or two with me, and all of a sudden, they're talking or they're open and they're free and they're doing things that the school couldn't get them to do. So that kept happening more and more. And I realized, because I had hit a road where I was working at Fox full time and I was doing my business on the side. And I hit a moment where I was either going to have to do the Fox full time or I was going to quit Fox and do my business full time. And ultimately, I realized my purpose was to help others, especially when you consider all of the things that I've been through in my life. How can I use that to help others? How can I use my pain for other people's gain? And that's how DJ Inspires came about, like being able to finally make that decision to pursue my purpose and passion, and try to help as many students and families as possible.
So can you actually look back on your life and go, wow, I went through some of that junk so I could have a tool belt that has some of those tools in it so I can help the very teenager that's sitting across my room right now.
And the way that I explain it to students and even, staff when I get a chance to talk to them is like, in the moment, you don't feel that. In the moment, you're struggling, you're depressed, you're all the challenges that you're feeling in the moment, you're not looking ahead saying, if I could just get through this pain, it's going to be used for somebody else's gain. Like, just to paint the picture, like, my parents were 16 when they had me. So you can imagine the trials and tribulations that might come with that. And so I literally, the way I tell it is my dad turned 16 3 days before I was born. His birthday is 3 days after mine, or 3 days before mine. And so, like, they were kids having a kid. And so my dad, kind of dealing with whatever he was dealing with in his life at that time, wasn't able to be a part of my life. And my mom got with, married my stepdad, who was abusive to her, to us, me and my siblings. I have four siblings that I grew up with. So my mom had five kids total. My dad had, I believe, 16 kids total. So I'm the oldest of all of those kids, 19 kids, I think the number
That's unbelievable.
is. And so my mom, like, literally there would be times where they would get into arguments, and we would be upstairs, me and my siblings, and just kind of feeling helpless, like we can't do anything if my stepdad's beating my mom downstairs and she's crying and the police gets called ultimately. And there would be times where the police get called and somehow, some way, my stepdad would still be here. Like, he wouldn't go to jail, like they wouldn't take him. But there was times where he did go to jail. And so, like, just all that different trauma that we experienced. My stepdad sent me to school with a black eye when I was in the second grade, because I was hungry and I took a little piece of food from my little sister, and he came in the room and punched me in my face. And so I had to go to school and lie and say I got jumped. And that was just kind of a little bit of kind of what we did. He whipped me with an extension cord at one time. And so, like, there's things that happen to ultimately where we got to a point where my life changed. My life changed when my brother, he was in his he was upstairs. We were all kind of downstairs. He was upstairs playing with an incense, I believe. I don't remember exactly, but somehow, some way, he ends up sparking a fire and it burns our apartment down. We end up being homeless that summer. We were at Red Cross for like a week. They put us in a hotel, and then we stayed in a motel for about a month and a half in a town over. And that literally changed the course of my life. Not even a year later, my mom, and she was trying to make ends meet. She got a drug habit as she was in the exotic dancing scene, and she came to me one day and just said she couldn't take care of us anymore. And that's when we went into the foster care system. I was in the fourth grade at the time. And
Wow.
so all those things that happened, which hurt in the moment, and I remember carrying that pain for so long, I finally got to a place of healing, to be able to now use those pains, those stories, to help my students that I get to help parents and families that I get to help, and more importantly, help the people, which is where I've met you a couple of times, help people that get the opportunity to help students like little DJ when he was younger.
Yeah. I tell you what, DJ, we're going to take a commercial break. It's about a minute and 20 seconds long. On the other side
Perfect.
of this, I really want to find out when you went into that foster system for those 9 years, what kind of experiences did you have there? And then how we turned the corner to be able to be the empowerment coach and the youth. And I want to find out what your take is on parenting right now and the youth of today's world and how you find the best way to be able to reach them and care for them and empower them. So we're going to talk about that. 888-627-6008. I promise you will not want to miss this last half hour because DJ's just getting ready to unspread it all. So here we go. Hang with us. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Welcome back. Tell you what, we have a guest tonight of DJ Johnson, and he is the owner, the president, the CEO, the King Poobah of DJ Inspires out in LA, Los Angeles. And it's great to have you, DJ, with us tonight. You know, I see something that's kind of, do you have your book with you?
I do.
Hold your book up. I'll hold
All
mine
right.
up and see if this doesn't do something. I go for the dark, shattered by the darkness. And look at his. The sun is always shining. And look at this guy's smile. And I love that. Was it deliberate that you're telling your story and that in the subtitle of his book is a story of adversity turned to triumph? I go for the dark. You go for the light. Was that deliberate? You said, hey, I'm going to tell my story, but I'm going to take people to the sunshine.
Yeah. So the way that came about is I shared a little bit that I ended up in California my junior year, going into my senior year of high school. So my junior year, I was at my last foster home, which was throughout my time in foster care, I was in kinship. So I got a chance to stay with extended family throughout my time in foster care. And so I was with an auntie, and my junior year, we lived in Indianapolis, and I loved it. I was going to Warren Central. I had a blast. It was the best year of my high school career. I still say that. And for whatever reason, she didn't want to stay there, and we had to move back to Fort Wayne. And I was like, no, you cannot do that. You cannot give me a taste of Ruth Chris and then tell me that I got to go back to Sizzler. Like, no thanks. And so then we were going back and forth. And so basically, California came up as an option, and I started looking up colleges. I started like looking into it more. And then I realized I had family out there as well. And so ended up making the plans to go there, booked the flight. So the sun is always shining came about is the day that I left. It was the first time I ever been on a plane. I left Indianapolis. It was rainy, gloomy, cloudy. It was like dark. And we got through, we took off. I was nervous and scared, and we got up above the clouds, and I realized the sun is always shining.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, that's the perfect title for the book, because when you think about your life, we're gonna have tornadoes, we're gonna have hurricanes, we're gonna have a thunderstorm, it's gonna rain, but like I ain't never seen a storm last forever. I ain't never like in the history of mankind, we have never had a 1,000-year storm. But like The storm will pass. In the moment that you push through it and power through it, you will realize that at the end of the day in your life, no matter what you're going through, the sun is always shining.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's great. You can get that book right now, right on
Yes.
Amazon. So pick it up. And if you want to read it this evening, drop it down in Kindle. I think it's even
Yeah.
on sale on Kindle right now. Don't you
There
hate
you
it when
go.
Amazon does the prices? I don't understand all that. But anyway, get the book and read The Sun Is Always Shining by DJ Johnson. Now, DJ, when you went into the foster care system, did you go with all of your siblings or did they separate you?
Yeah, so initially we went to live with my grandmother,
Okay.
which crazy enough, she also passed in March. So I lost mom, my dad, my grandma, who I lived with when we went into foster care. And so yeah, so she we went to live with her, and we lived with her for about a year or so. We went in fourth grade. I spent fifth grade with her, and then right before fifth grade, going into sixth grade year, my stepdad comes back into the picture. So initially, when we went into foster care, he had went to jail and was in jail. So just my mom and, trying to take care of five kids by herself. And so he was in jail. We went to foster care. We lived with grandma, and then he came back into the picture somehow. And one day my grandma came to me and was like, "You guys are gonna have to go back with your stepdad." And I was devastated. I was like, "No, like my life, like we, my grandma exposed us to a youth center that was around the corner from our house. So I met my mentor. We got to do some activities, got to travel and be a part of like conferences. And I remember going to Detroit for to a museum. I remember going to Canada for the first time. Like this center exposed us to a lot of different things. And my grandma raised us differently than how we were raised before we moved in with her. And so when they said we were going to go back to that, I was like, "What? No!" I was like freaking out. The way that I paint the picture is, if you ever watch Fresh Prince, there's an episode where the house is empty and Will Smith is just in the living room all by himself. Like that's how I felt in my room, like just sad, like I don't want to go, I don't want to go. But long story short, we ended up going with him, and it didn't last long. It was about a few months, and he ended up going to jail again. And so that time when we got removed, me and my youngest sister went to stay with my grandma, and my three middle siblings went to stay with their auntie. And I, if I remember correctly, she wasn't able or didn't take all of us. One, because I wasn't my stepdad's son, and I guess she said my little sister was just too young for her to take in. So me and my little sister went with my grandma, and then the three middle siblings went, and then we never lived together after that. So we kind of all went on our different paths after that.
Yeah. In the organization, DJ Inspires, what is your primary goal? Is it to deal with parents? Is it to get in front of the kids? When somebody calls you and say, "Hey, DJ, can you come speak?" What is in the back of your mind going, "Hey, wait, before you tell me about the event, this is what I hope and pray it is." What is that prime group that you'd like to be involved with to be able to roll up your sleeves and say, "Let's get down and dirty. Let's get to some work."
Yeah, I think initially it's students. I feel myself shifting. I had the opportunity to speak in New York yesterday. Yesterday, yes. I'm just all over the place. And so that I it was a great event, and I realized afterwards, like, I'm wondering if I'm gonna shift to just helping the staff who helps the students. I think I'm still kind of figuring out. But initially, if you ask me, it's students. But I also enjoy working with parents now. That didn't used to be the case. I joke with parents all the time. I was like, "I ain't want to deal with y'all parents. I don't want to have to talk to y'all. I don't want to have any conversations with y'all." That was my attitude initially. But when I started working with students, I would help them through their challenge and their struggle that they were dealing with. And then they would go back into the environment that had me helping them in the first place and would regress, or they would have some struggles again. And it finally dawned on me, like, it's like taking a person to the hospital, healing them from whatever their ailment was, and then they go back into the house that made them have to go to the hospital in the first place. And when I realized that, I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna have to talk to parents." I'm gonna have to figure it out. And so little by little, I started doing workshops. I started, and it started at the nonprofit. I was, would do workshops there. And then through DJ Inspires, continue to do that work, host, have a 6 week workshop series that we have done. I have a workshop that I do with a buddy who's also a speaker, D. Hankins. He brings me out when when schools request a parent night. And so I do that type of workshop for him. And so, yeah, students is always at the heart of everything that I do, because if I work with parents, it's with students in mind. If I work with staff, it's absolutely with students in mind. So I'll say students.
So if somebody calls you, do you do like assemblies? So you're out in front of the whole school. Is that what you like? Or do you like to be in individual classrooms? But we have a lot of school administrators that watch the program,
Oh,
listen. If they want you to come, do you like that assembly approach?
and I'm pretty flexible. It usually depends on what the school, like timing wise, the different things that they want to see. If it's a high school, you could do by specific grades. I've spoken to an entire school before, high school, middle school. I've done sixth, seventh, and eighth, like just to each grade. It really depends on the school and kind of the bell schedule and what works for them. But I mean, the best that I've seen, with my services being utilized, I guess you could say, is doing an entire keynote either for each grade or for the entire school, and then selecting a specific group of students who you feel like needs some extra work or some extra connection or whatever it might be. What, we don't want to be like, oh, let's send all the bad kids to you. That's not what we're doing. I don't believe in calling kids bad anyway, but like all those students who you're like, I feel like they would really benefit from some extra loving from
Right.
DJ or some extra work from DJ. Then we do like, and let's say I'm there the next day and we do like a group of, I don't know, 20 to 30 kids, depending on how many they got. And I do an extra activity with them to really hone in some lessons and different things that I try to implement in my keynote. So, yeah, it's assembly, keynote, whatever kind of works for the school. And then we have the group sessions that we are able to do outside of that. And then, I mean, obviously, staff professional development, we do that as well. And then parents, like I know a lot of schools are like, man, we don't have enough parent engagement. and that's, that's an issue all over the place. We see it all the
Isn't
time,
it
but
crazy? Parenting, if I wanted to cut somebody's hair in the state of Texas and set up a little business across the street, I'd have to have a license. But if I want to be a parent, I can just find somebody goofy enough that wants to have a baby. And that's
Right.
it. There's no licensing, there's no training mandated. Don't you think that's one of the things that I have advocated ever since I can remember? 20, 25 years now, that the school building during the day ought to be for kids, during the evening ought to be for parents, because they need to be trained to learn how to raise kids, especially in today's world. What do you think is the biggest issues that the youth are going through that has changed since my generation and even your generation?
I think it's, I mean, the easiest answer is social media.
Yeah.
But I think we have a generation of older folks who are very disconnected with their young people, their kiddos, because traditionally we've been disconnected with from our parents above us. And I know the running joke on the internet is, gentle parenting that doesn't work for, these kids. They're not gentle, right? And the reality is people think that the dominant parenting style is gentle parenting because of what we're seeing. They're saying that kids are wilding out, they're saying that kids are disrespectful and all of this. And the reality is the majority parent the people the parenting style that people are doing the most, I should say, is the old school way. Authoritarian. Maybe it's not looking like what it did as far as the abuse part of it, but it's still my way or the highway. You want to use obedience. You want it like so many people want us to go back to that style of parenting. And the reality is, things that I keep hearing from students is that they want to be connected with, And they want the opportunity to have some kind of control over their lives, which is autonomy. We strip our kids of autonomy. And if you look at what the effects of a lack of control of your life is, it's pretty much everything we're seeing now. It's drug use, it's anger management, frustration, it's disrespect. Like all the things that we're upset about is tied to the effects of kids when they don't have control over their lives. No autonomy, I should say.
When you have a youth in your classroom or in when you're out speaking, does the word sextortion come up? Is that stuff that they're dealing with, or is that something that just the internet is blowing out of the water, or is that a reality that every parent needs to know about?
I personally have not ran into that. In my conversations with students, it hasn't come up. I haven't seen that. But that doesn't mean it's, not happening. It's not a big issue. Maybe it's not in the schools that I work in.
Right.
But I mean, it's also possible that that's maybe something that they're not even sharing with me. It's possible. But I believe with all the students that I have conversations I would have had that that would have came up in some form or fashion.
Do you think every youth wants to be connected, that they really wish that their mom and dads wouldn't work so hard and sling sweat and stay in front of their computers 24/7 all the time, and they really just want, they don't want more things, they want maybe a little more quality time.
I think if we think about all of those moments, like all the parents out there, just walk with me for a second.
No.
Like, if you think about all the moments where our kid made a play at us or made like a push towards getting our attention or asking us if we can play with them for this moment or whatever it might be, like, if you really think about it, like, they probably have asked you more for your time than they have for an actual thing. Right, we really think about it. And just to kind of put this into context, why I am so gung-ho about connection, the term that I use is connection before correction,
Oh.
or a connection over a correction, a connection over correction. Both of them, but connection before, whatever you decide, but connection's got to be at the forefront. But the reason why connection is so important to me is because the type of students that I've heard this from, and the type of students that I traditionally have worked with are failing students, students who have got suspended for fighting, school drunk, come to school high, come to school carrying some paraphernalia. Like these are the type of students that I'm hearing these types of conversations from, right? It's not, and even when I have conversations with straight A students that are about to go to a really good college, like, these are the things that they tell me. Like connection is always at the forefront of those conversations. They want to be able to have a conversation with their parents without being judged. They want to be able to, have their parents trust them to do certain things because they messed up in the past and their parents always got their guard up and don't feel like that they'll ever be able to trust their teenager again. Like these are the types of conversations that I've had with them, and it's for me. When we think about it, it's such a simple thing to connect. But I think as they've gotten older, obviously it gets so much harder to connect with them as teenagers as it was maybe when they were younger and you had the opportunity to do it. And I think so many parents think about that or see that. Let's say they make a shift and they change and they do it for a couple of days or a week and they don't see any change in their student because the student's like, I need to see that this is for real. I need to know that this change is going to stay the course. And so they just ultimately realize like, okay, connection is what I want at the end of the day, but they don't know how to express that to their parents.
Do you think when they're going through the problems that they're dealing with, the youth, what's one of those first steps that you always say, "Hey, wait, if this is you," and they're listening tonight, and they're thinking about doing something goofy, how do you intervene as a counselor, as a empowerment coach for kids, and say, "Hey, wait, this is the steps 1, 2, and 3 or whatever that you offer if they're listening right now and looking at the camera with your eyes, what would you say to them that they need to do if they're looking for help? But it seems really
I,
dark outside for them right now.
yeah, I think for me, it's validating their experience because I think so many adults in their lives invalidate what they're going through. You know, I know adults have said all the time, like, you know, I work all the time. I got bills. I got this. Like,
Yeah.
what you're dealing with doesn't matter to me. And if they don't say it out loud, they say it in their actions. So for me, it's I'm that, hey, I hear you. I see you. You know, that I must be really tough what you're dealing with at the moment. So I validate their experience. And then I always kind of paint the picture of what's in their control, what's out of their control. Because a lot of the things that they're stressing out about is most times out of their control. It's things that they want to happen, it's things that they wish could happen, but they don't focus enough on what they can control and what they can do. And so I paint the picture for them and help them understand what's in their control and how they can take more control of that. And then we're having a conversations about their coping skills, like what is it that you're doing to negate and deal with the stress and the challenges and the struggles that you're dealing with on a daily basis. Let's like you might be doing things, but I really want us to name those things, and I want you to be more intentional about when you do those things. Like I'm listening to music because this is making me feel better, not just listening to music just to listen to it, right? So for me, it's kind of those steps of validating, it's acknowledging what's in their control, what's out of their control. It's also helping them with some coping strategies, skills that's going to help them manage their stress in that moment, that time.
Wow, that's good wisdom. Okay, on the flip side of that, now you have a parent that says, "Hey, my kid is just absolutely out there. We just can't even be. We were not on the same page. Every time he walks into the room, it becomes toxic." What advice do you have for the parents? Hey, wait, take a breath, try this. What kind of wisdom, DJ, do you have for the parent side of it?
Yeah, so this is really the parent workshop that I mentioned. It's a popular workshop that we do across the country, and it's essentially six tips to connect better with your child. And the tips are BETTER acronym. So it's breathe, even conversations, tolerate, trustworthy, expectations, and work the runway or runway. And so the first step is breathe, and that's taking care of yourself. That's also giving parents coping skills. So I tell them the things that I'm asking you to do as far as being more intentional, being more purposeful in your parenting journey, you have to fill your cup. You can't keep doing parenting on E. And I think so many parents out there are
Yeah,
parenting on an
that's true.
empty gas tank. And so I say, hey, let's fill our tank, right? And then we get into even conversations, which is they're always having conversations where the parent is up here and the child is down here. And I say, hey, if you're watching out there, you can see my hands, but they're uneven at first. And then I get them to even and I say, how do we have more even conversations in the home between you and your child? Which basically means, parent, you're listening more than you're talking. And you're not judging, and you're literally listening to what they have to say. And if you're really taking it to another level as far as listening skills are concerned, you're recalling different things that your child told you in prior conversations to confirm, hey, I hear you, I'm listening to you. Because what will that do? That will have them having conversations with you unprompted. You won't even ask. And they'll just bring stuff up to you because you've proven time and time again that you listen and you hear them and you don't judge them.
Yeah.
So for me, it's taking care of yourself first as a parent. It's letting that parenting ego push it to the side. And I tell parents who just need a fresh start, I say, I need you tonight, go meet with your child, go to the dining room table, and I need you to ask your child, what is it that I could do better as your parent? And say, I'm serious. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be mad. No judgments. I really want to do better as your parent. Because I found in my parenting journey, I've, for me, I remember growing up, it felt like my parents are like, y'all are blessed to have me as your parent. And I flipped it. I'm blessed to have my son. And that's how I operate in my parenting journey. I appreciate being able to help him through his life journey, and that's the energy that I have. And I think as parents, we got to flip to that because it allows us to continually work on us. And I remind parents, we're in a parent workshop, and I stop in the workshop and I just take a moment and I say, can I remind you that nobody has asked you all to be perfect? Nobody has asked you to get it all right. Nobody has asked you to have all the answers. Because if I'm being honest, as I like to say, we're toe up from the flow up. We're all tore up from the flow up. We all sin. We all fall short, right? And so when I remind them of that, it's like, taking that weight of perfection off of my shoulders. And I just say, hey, let's progress, right? Like a good friend, oh, I'm blanking on his name, but a good friend that says, oh, I forgot his term. Basically, we want to progress, not pursue perfection, essentially. And so that's what I kind of remind parents of.
Fantastic. Good stuff. I tell you what, show your book one more time. The sun is always shining, a story of adversity turned to triumph. You will want to get this book by DJ Johnson. And your website is djinspires.com, or what is it? Is it dot com? DJ, D as in dog,
Inspires.
J as in Jack, inspires.com. Get on there. There's a contact tab, I'm assuming, DJ.
Yes, sir.
And he responds
I
because
do.
that's how I got yours.
If not me, my assistant keeps me on track as well.
Fantastic. DJ, it was great to see you. I hope I'm going to see you on the road again soon. I don't know
That'd
where
be
you're
great.
heading next. I don't even know where I'm heading next, but we'll be crisscrossing somewhere in the country. And God bless you. And I tell you what, thanks for being with us. And also, we're going to be remembering you and your family and lifting you all up in prayer as you go through what you're going to have to endure with your dad's memorial service or funeral coming up in the very few days in the future. Thanks for being with us tonight, DJ.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
The sun is always shining. You want to get this book, and you want to reach out to DJ if you have any type of organization, any type of school, any type of group, parenting group, advocacy group. You want to get in touch with him, and he'll be glad to do something on Zoom, or he'll be glad to even come out there and drive, fly, or whatever, because I see him on coast to coast. He's flying all over the place, and he needs those extra mile points for his airplane
I
flight.
do.
Thank
I
you,
absolutely do.
DJ, so much for being with
Bye
us.
now.
Great job. Great job. As we do each and every week, I tell you what, DJ is a perfect example of this. When you go through that stuff that he's gone through, but to have the smile that lights up the room, that tells you something that's inside of him that he wants to put inside of everybody else. So, tap into him, get some of that juice that he's been drinking and, whatever it is, but read the book and reach out to him because DJ will sure help you out. Like we do each and every week, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it's getting outside, no matter how dark it's getting on the inside of your mind right now, folks. There's always hope. There's always hope. Never, ever give up. And you're seeing tonight, you don't have to go alone. There's somebody that's going to be there with you to help you at your darkest hour. And it will, the sun will come up right in this window again tomorrow morning. It will. It's never failed to rise, and it will rise again in the morning. Never go out during the darkest part of the night. God bless you. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week right here live from Houston, Texas for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Thanks, DJ, and God bless y'all. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.